back. He says, I saw a person, a young child who was around 7 years old. We were going, the caravans were going towards Hajj from Medina to Mecca. And this young child is walking alone. The caravans are on the road. He's off the road and he's walking by himself. At that time, if you're traveling, the journey to Hajj would take at least 14 days, at least 10 days. People, they would take their luggage. They would take whatever they need for at least a month and or longer. He says, I saw this young child walking on his own. So I go to him and I tell him, who are you? You're walking alone towards the direction of Mecca, towards the direction of the Hujjaj. Who are you? Aina zaduk? Aina rahilatuk? Aina maqsaduk? Where's your food? Where's your bags? What do you have that keeps you going? Where's your caravan? What are you using to as a vehicle to take you there? And where's your final destination? He says, he looked at me. He tells me, Zadi taqwai, wa rahilati rajlai, wa maqsadi mawlai. He says, he tells me, my fuel that keeps me going is my taqwa, my piety. And my vehicle that takes me are my feet. And my final destination is my mawla, my master. He says, I realized he's going to Hajj. But who? This person is a young child. Where do you see someone like this? So he says, I asked him, who are you? Where are you from? He tells me, Ana Qurashi, I'm from Quraysh. I tell him, tell me more. He says, Ana Mekki, I'm from Mecca. He says, tell me more. He says, I am Hashimi, I'm from the clan of Hashim. I tell him, tell me more. He says, Ana Alawi, I am from the children of Ali ibn Abi Talib. And then I realized he doesn't want to talk anymore. He doesn't want to tell me who he is. So I left him. He says, a few weeks later in the Hajj, I see this young child. He is speaking and there's hundreds of people learning from him. And he's educating them. I ask, who is this person? They tell me, Hada Ali ibn al-Husayn ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib. This is Ali ibn al-Husayn. This is Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam.
It is quoted that after Imam Sajjad alayhi salam returned to Medina, following the event of Ashura, a person came to him and said, O son of the Prophet, see what has happened because you went there. The caravan returned with only one man, Imam Sajjad. The women were captured, suffered and mourned. Imam Hussein was no longer among them. Neither Ali Akbar nor the infant child was left among them. Imam Sajjad replied to that person, think what would have happened if we had not gone. Yes, if they had not gone, the bodies would have survived, but the truth would have been destroyed. The souls would have melted. Their conscience would have been trampled. The wisdom and logic would have been condemned throughout history. And even the name of Islam would not have remained. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
صلوات upon Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn
اللهم صل على علي ابن الحسين سيد العابدين الذي استخلصته لنفسه وجعلت منه أئمة الهدى الذين يهدون بالحق وبه يعدلون اخترته لنفسه وطهرته من الرجس واصطفيته وجعلته هاديا مهديا اللهم فصل عليه أفضل ما صليت على أحدهم
تقر به عين فالدنيا والآخرة إنك عزيز حكيم.
O Allah, please send blessings upon Ali, the son of Al-Husayn, the chief of worshippers, whom you have purely dedicated to yourself, and have brought forth from him the leaders of true guidance, who guide to the truth and judge with it. You have chosen him for yourself, purified him against filth, selected him, and made him guide and well guided. O Allah, send blessings upon him with the most excellent blessings that you have ever sent upon any of your prophet's offspring, so that these blessings raise him in what delights his eye in this world and the hereafter. You are very almighty and wise.
Allahumma salli ala unwani sahifati al-mutanassikin wa misbahi musalla al-mutahajjidin wa misdaqi haqiqati al-sadiqin الإمام أبي محمد علي بن الحسين زين العابدين.
The fourth Imam kept the memory of tragedy of Karbala alive. Whenever he would drink water, he would burst into tears in recalling the thirst of his father and the martyrs of Karbala. One day when someone asked him how his grief would come to its end, he replied, Prophet Jacob, who had 12 sons, on losing only one son, wept so bitterly that he became blind. But I have witnessed the killing of my father, my brothers, my uncles, and 17th of my kinsmen, whose dismembered bodies were spread on the ground. So how can my sorry end? The personality of Imam Zain al-Abidin, peace be upon him, unmasked Umayyad hypocrisy as he revealed the crimes against humanity by saying, We were treated like the Israelites in the time of the pharaohs. They killed our men and left our women alive. The fourth Imam was martyred through a fatal dose of poison given by Walid ibn Abdul Malik and was laid to rest in the Baqi Cemetery of Medina beside his uncle, Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba, peace be upon him.
Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam is in Sham, is giving a speech. One of the phrases of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam that gives in his speech, he says, O Muslims, O human beings, if you want to understand, if you want to know, if you want to recognize Ahlul Bayt, recognize Ahlul Bayt with six qualities, with six specialties that we Ahlul Bayt have got. If we want to know, if we want to understand, if we want to recognize Ahlul Bayt, who are Ahlul Bayt, recognize Ahlul Bayt with these qualities which Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam gives in his speech in Sham. Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam gives a speech in Sham and says, if you want to recognize Ahlul Bayt, you can recognize Ahlul Bayt 12 qualities, 12 specialties. Number one, al-ilm. Number two, al-hilm. Number three, wal-fasaha. When they speak, attract the people. Their speech has a peak of attraction. That's why Ibn al-Hadid, who used to live in 7th century of Islamic calendar, he says the oration of Imam Ali al-Islam from Nahjul Balagha, oration of Imam Ali al-Islam numbered 221, he says that I read more than 1,000 times, still I like to read it more because when I read it more, when I read it once more, I get more knowledge, I get more points from this oration of Imam Ali.
Dear brother and sister, thank you very much for listening to this episode of today's special on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Zainul Abidin, peace be upon him. Thank you very much and fi amanillah.
عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. Steps quicken, my heart beat racing. I long to touch each inch as I pass, hoping to absorb his light into my heart. Ya Muhammad, ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Ya Muhammad, ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Ya Muhammad, ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Ya Muhammad, ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Adorned by your beauty, giving my tears in plea, forgive me. Ya Muhammad, ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Ya Muhammad, ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Ya Muhammad, ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. My head prostrates onto the ground. All is gone. Now I feel at peace. Sound amongst these millions, only I can hear my heart beat.
Ya Muhammad, ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Ya Muhammad, ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Ya Muhammad, ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Ya Muhammad, ya Habibi.
beds are planned, yet I can't leave. I yearn the streets of my Rasul, he is my love, please let me be. Ya Muhammad, Ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Ya Muhammad, Ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Ya Muhammad, Ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city. Ya Muhammad, Ya Habibi, you are the light of this blessed city.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, salam and welcome to this episode of the Hadith of the Day. My condolences to you for the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, based on a weaker narration than the one which is 2 days after Ashura. So today we have a beautiful hadith, a deep one from His Eminence, His Holiness, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. In a world where people seek advantages through their connections, whether family, fame, or influence, Imam Sajjad, Ahlul Bayt actually, all of them, stood tall with quiet dignity. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam once said, I never ate anything because of my kinship with the Messenger of Allah. Let that sink in. He, the great grandson of the Prophet, the son of Imam Hussein, the inheritor of not just blood but of character, knowledge, and divine leadership, he refused to benefit personally from his relationship to the Prophet. Can you imagine that today? Most people, if they're related to someone famous or powerful, use it as currency, a VIP pass, a shortcut, a way to say, I am someone important, treat me differently. But Imam Sajjad alayhi salam didn't think this way. He could have asked for favors, wealth, or power, but he chose dignity over privilege and responsibility over reward. Because in his eyes, being related to the Prophet wasn't about getting more, it was about giving more. Let's talk about this from the viewpoint of psychology. Modern research shows that entitlement, feeling like we deserve special treatment, correlates with narcissism, poor relationships, and even depression. But people who adapt a mindset of responsibility, of earning rather than expecting, are healthier, more respected, and more fulfilled. That's exactly what we see in the character of the Imam. He didn't expect the world to bow because of his lineage. He instead humbled himself in worship, served the poor in secret, and wept in prayer until the ground beneath him was soaked with tears. And this attitude is deeply rooted in the Quran too. Allah says, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The most honored of you is in the sight of Allah is the one with the most taqwa, most purity, God consciousness. Not the richest, not the most famous, not even the one with the highest family status, but the most God-conscious. Imam Sajjad lived that verse with every breath. So what can we learn? Don't rely on your background to define you. Earn respect with character, not connections. And use your influence to uplift others, not yourself. Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Welcome to Women of Resistance. A woman doesn't grow weaker with oppression. In fact, she grows stronger because God gives her strength. This from a mother of 11 and many more grandchildren living in a tent in Gaza, having been displaced from Al-Saftawi to Al-Shifa, Al-Daraj, Al-Saftawi again, Al-Sabra, Khan Yunis, Rafah, Baitul Hanun, and back to Khan Yunis. Trump, she says, can go back to his home because Gaza is their home, their holy land, and they are not giving it up. Here is more of Hiyam.
Time seems to operate differently in Gaza. For those who choose to distort or misrepresent the people and their land, time did not start before October the 7th. For those who have always connected with their home, connected with their people, and connected with their land, history may now have a before and after the 7th of the 10th, 2023, but the ties that bind are unbreakable. This is especially true for those who have seen the ebb and flow of Palestinian life play out. Hayam has lived through so much, and as bad as things have been, her foundation has helped to set the scene. For Gaza's enduring generation, the elders who have seen death and destruction before, the new genocide represents a fresh hell. The roll call of the martyrs, the missing, the injured, and the permanently scarred, continues to grow. Gaza, before the new Nakba, was an area that saw the lives of the people wholly controlled by the whims of Tel Aviv. Yet somehow Palestinians found a way to make the land work for them, carving out a life amidst the checkpoints, the blockades, and the restrictions. The uncertainty of the constant displacements, of not knowing where the next loss will come from, has had devastating impact on families like Hayam's. The hardships have only strengthened Hayam's fortitude and sense of connection to the land, Those who feel people with this literal grounding to their communities will be easily shifted have another thing coming. The world has failed Palestine. It has so far bitterly failed Gazans. It's not too easy to put yourself in the shoes of a Palestinian. They want what everyone else wants: food, clothing, shelter, peace. Now a concerted effort by Israel to ostensibly starve the resistance out of Gazans is hitting the youngest and most vulnerable. Tel Aviv is so far ignoring international laws and moral norms and using the denial of food as a weapon of mass murder. The false dawns and brief moments of respite have been a temporary balm to salve the open wounds of Palestinians attempting to stay alive inside Gaza. But the fresh bombs fall all too quickly, and the old stories with ever battered and bruised bodies play on repeat.
Joining me in the studio today to discuss Hiyam's journey is Maria Galastegui, a peace campaigner and coordinator at Peace Strike Campaign. Welcome, Maria.
Oh, we're very pleased to be here.
Thank you. Maria, you know, Hiyam says something amazing. She says a woman is not become, she becomes stronger with oppression. She doesn't become weaker. But we do witness women breaking, you know, apart. What is so special about these women that the more they are oppressed, the stronger they get?
Yes, I think just naturally somebody's got to step up and take the lead, because obviously she's got 11 children and grandchildren, and she's got responsibilities. Some people will be broken by the trauma. I mean, they're surrounded by trauma the whole of their lives. It, depending on what age you are, I guess it affects you differently. But obviously she's got responsibilities. She's stepped up, and she's a role model for the people in her lives. So it's essential that somebody like her, she keeps going against all the odds. Mm. And understand she's got a back problem. So living in a tent, trying to cook, having to be on the floor, and be her pain level must be, you know, incredibly difficult for her life. But obviously she's pulling it all together, and she's keeping going no matter what the odds.
The thing is, Maria, you know, we speak to these women on a weekly basis, and I'm astounded that every woman is the same. You know, it's, we haven't come across anyone who says, I can't do this anymore, you know, I can't take it anymore. They seem to actually thrive, in not in a positive manner, of course, but the survival instinct that kicks in. You know, you are a peace activist, you must have seen a lot of issues around there. Do you find their case to be different? Do you find their resilience to be different? Or is this something that when you're put in a situation, you just rise up to it?
Well, it's incredible. I mean, no one's been challenged the way they have.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we've all got options. If you're doing something, things get too difficult, you've got the option to opt out.
Yeah.
They don't have that option. And even if they did now, they can't. Too much blood has been spilled. You know, not just from their lives and the children and the people around them every single day, but also the history of their parents going way back. So they can't give up the land now. All that would have been for nothing, in a sense, all that sacrifice, all that bloodshed. So they can't, and they won't. So that's the irony of the situation, because they've been put in a position now where they want to drive them off the land or kill them. But there's no way that they can do that, because it's a principle, it's a moral, it's the history. And they're making a stand for not just their humanity, but actually, ironically, for ours. They're showing us a way of resistance.
Absolutely.
They're teaching us.
Yeah, but, I mean, Maria, the amount of displacements, we heard how many places she's been to. You know, she's scared of sending a child out because they might get bombed, but then they also get bombed, you know, within the tent.
Yes.
Now we see when they go to, you know, receive aid, food aid, they are being targeted and killed.
Yes.
How much worse does it have to get, Maria, when the world takes account of this, takes stock of this, and does something about it?
The world is aware. Yeah. We are all aware. Globally, the support is for Palestinians, without a doubt. But it's the political system that's running the world. So grassroots activists will do everything. And as you know now, they've got the Freedom Flotilla. They're taking a risk. But they're showing the way that people do care. And that's a message to Palestine. There's a march going to Palestine. There's lots of things going on, but by grassroots campaigns. The big campaigns are, doing marches and rallies, but they're not effective. They're not empowering the people. All that power when people come together, but after a march, it's dissipated. It's not effective, and it's not reaching out to Hayim in Gaza.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that's the problem. We're not empowered. So.
It is an interesting question because, you know, I think, you know, it's good that all these things are happening, but it probably shouldn't have taken this long for us to be where we are today. Why has it taken this long, Maria? For example, you know, this march to Gaza, why has it taken a year and a half?
I think because we normally, as the peace camps campaigns traditionally go, people join the big marches, the big campaigns. We've got video now. Everything's filmed. It all goes out into the world. But in reality, that power is not—it's not effective. So people then kind of not waste their time, but they think that the next march will do it. It's big enough. It's got bigger. The influence for the governments, they will listen to us and they will follow what we say. But it doesn't happen, and it doesn't happen, and we keep on going. And so this is all kind of wasted time because we passed the emergency way, way, way back. We're beyond the emergency now. It should have come into effect, and it hasn't, because I hate to say this, but there's gatekeepers in everything.
Yeah, and I mean, let's be honest. The gatekeepers are the Israeli lobby, really, when we're talking about around the world, who have taken hostage our politics here. How do we get rid of that, Maria? Because, you know, our governments, our politicians should be listening to us, but they're listening to foreign powers. Why?
I think because on their way up to being a politician, somewhere along the line, they're compromised. You know, a lot of them are friends of whatever, and they get compromised along the way. And when they actually get into power, instead of, you know, like the Labour Party doing now, what we're doing, there's been a court case about arming Israel to stop arms, all arms. The components of the F-35s should be finished. It's carrying on.
Absolutely.
And at the same time, now they've decided to say, oh, by the way, you know, things are getting very difficult. Israel needs to stop. We need to pull back on this. But they're too weak. They haven't been strong enough. They should have put sanctions on Israel and boycotts at least about a year and a half ago you know.
Absolutely. And even the change of tone, it's taken forever for that. Even, you know, we hear a foreign minister speak about these things. This should have been right at the onset.
Yes.
But let's talk about your journey, Maria. I want to hear, what is it that you do as a peace campaigner, and, you know, what challenges have you faced in that journey?
My campaigning goes back 22 years, and a lot of it was from the Iraq War. So the example was we the whole world marched, the biggest marches ever in our time, and we thought we had stopped the Iraq War. And, you know, because a lot of it was based on lies that were actually came out at the time, same like as now. Things have been discredited, even as they've been said, but it doesn't seem to make any difference. So we did go to war with Iraq. It didn't stop the government. And then it never stopped the government, and we only came out of Iraq and Afghanistan when the Americans decided, we need to pull out, because it suited them.
Yes.
So we pulled out, and they're worse than ever they were. You know, the argument of why we went in was a ruse. Mm. It's all to do with business and strategic power. So now we're back at the same situation with Palestine. We haven't empowered ourselves. So peace strike we call strikes for peace.
Okay.
So you go on strike. You don't have to be on a march. You can just be. So we've got a red alert for Palestine this Friday coming, which is the 6th of June. And we're trying to spread it like... as much as we can, the message.
So, tell us what is it that people are supposed to do?
Well, you don't. If you can, you don't go to work, you don't go to school, you buy nothing, you don't use your credit card, you don't use a debit card, nothing in the system that enables the system, because the system is allowing the war machine to carry on, and we're trying to stop it. But obviously, it doesn't apply to emergency workers or essential workers. And we have to use our common sense. If we have to do certain things, we do. But the point is, we need to go in strike mode now and shut down 4 days. You know, different days that we... But the first one, the big one, will be this Friday. Mm. And we need to build them up. It's grassroots. It's not controlled. It's independent. So basically, we, the people, the grassroots people, we call the strikes, and we do it ourselves. It's a do-it-yourself campaign.
And I think that's where it has to come now, because we cannot wait for politicians. It should be them taking the action. But really, it has to be. And I think, you know, so much more needs to be done, so much more awareness. So many more people really need to move from just not supporting Israel to taking action, as you say.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Maria, for honoring us today with your presence. It is much appreciated. And thank you all. We leave you with the sounds of Palestine by the artist Saif. Goodbye.
Let's recite the Quran.
وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ جَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ حِجَابًا مَسْتُورًا.
القرآن نور وبيان، القرآن هدي الإيمان، القرآن مسك الختام، يا قرآن عليك سلام.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners, welcome back to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools. Here is Ali Nasser with us, Muhammad Masoom with us, and Brother Hussein Ruhullah with us. I really, really welcome you all, and I am Habibullah Faseezadeh. So, Hussein, Masoom, and Ali Nasser, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome.
Wa alaikum assalam.
How are you? Fine?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. So, guys, everyone is fine, so let's not waste the time. Let's quickly start our class, inshallah. Today we will be practicing Ayah 87, Surah Yusuf, Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. Hussein, tell us what page.
246.
So, ready to get started?
Yes.
The same as usual. First, let's listen to the recitation of this ayah. Ready?
Yes.
Let's go.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا بني يذهبوا فتحسسوا من يوسف وأخيه ولا تيأسوا من روح الله، إنه لا ييأس من روح الله إلا القوم الكافرون.
O my sons, go and find out about Joseph and his brother, and despair not of relief from Allah. Indeed, no one despairs of relief from Allah except the disbelieving people.
Nice recitation, mashallah. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters all over the world listening to IRB English Radio right now. That was a nice recitation, alhamdulillah. We really enjoyed. So, let's go and see what Allah Almighty says in this ayah. Then inshallah we will be explaining the most important tajweed rules here, just to learn how to recite the Quran Kareem correctly without mistakes, without any tajweed errors. All right?
Yes?
Yes. Let's see. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Ayah 87. Allah Almighty says that Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam, it's the story of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, yeah? Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam, Prophet Yusuf's father, said or told his sons that, Ya baniya, O my sons, idhhabu, go, fatahassasu min Yusuf, and look for Joseph. Go search for Yusuf. Okay? Look, we have, for example, tajassus, we have tahassus. There's a difference between these two. Tajassus means spying, right? Yeah. Tahassus means searching. Okay? So Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam said, فَتَحَسَّسُ, go look for. This is something good. Tahassus is used when you're looking for something good.
Yes.
وَلَا تَيْأَسُ مِن رَوْحِ اللَّهِ, and do not despair of Allah's mercy. Don't be disappointed. Don't lose your hope. So, what does it say, this ayah? Look. إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِن رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. See, this is so dangerous. It's so important. Look. The one who loses his hope, the one who has no hope in Allah Almighty's mercy, he is
disbeliever. His disbeliever.
Thank you. Ali Nasser, I really want you to recite these ayah once. Brothers and sisters, let's listen to Ali Nasser. Inshallah, we'll explain the most important tajweed points. Ready, Hassan, Hussein and Masoom?
Yes.
Together with our listeners, let's listen to Ali Nasser. You may start.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
ما شاء الله.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
أحسنت.
يا بني يذهبوا فتحسسوا من يوسف وأخيه ولا تيأسوا من روح الله.
روح means the soul, right? روح has another meaning. Yeah. It comes from that word, but for example, look, when you go through some kind of challenges and hardships, and when ease comes to you and the problem is solved, you kind of become refreshed, as if you get a new soul. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, yes? That's called, this is also called, Rauh means, for example, hope, for example. Okay? That's why this is called, like, it's taken from that word, from soul, or from Ruh, okay? Rauhillah. This is Rauhillah. Ruhullah, Ruhillah, Rauhillah. Go on. Sometimes students make this mistake because of that wow that you have. Okay? But remember that we have mad lean as well. Au, ay. It's not always oo and e.
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي.
How to learn Quran easy. What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
You could resume from the word وَلَا تَيْأَسُوا. Move on.
وَلَا تَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ.
أحسنت. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. There is a general point about his recitation, if you could say.
Even there was a mistake?
It was like a... It's not a mistake in the words, but actually, it's a generally... It's like something common, usually, students make this... Yeah, we can call it mistake.
A pronunciation of letter Ra?
No.
No?
It was about his complete... Like, the entire recitation was... Like, he was not confident while reciting.
Mm-hmm.
He was not confident. So you were not like... really focused. You mean when you were reading, for example, innahu la yayasu mir, as if you were looking, what's the next word? Okay, as you're reciting, you were looking for the next word. Oh my God, I shouldn't make mistake. What's the coming words? Okay, I feel like you were like this because you were like stretching some of the words that you didn't have to. Look, you were saying like this. إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ. Like this. You were hesitating. And this shows that maybe this ayah is the first time you're reading it. Huh? It might be because of that. So, in recitation, you have to be confident. Okay? And before you start reciting it, you have to take a deep, like, a quick look. Scan, okay? With your eyes. Look at the ayah. So I'm going to start from Fatahassasu, for example. And I'm going to end on Rauhillah. You have to, what? Make sure that where you start from and where do you make pause. This should be clear for you. Otherwise, if you just start reading then maybe wherever you lose your breath, you stop. That is a bit difficult for you, okay? It does not let you become a confident reciter. You have to assign a point from here to here. I'm going to start from, for example, فَتَحَسَّسُ, and I'm going to make a pause on رَوْحِلَّهُ. That's at this part. Then you can confidently go read it. All right? That's it. One more point. وَلَا, the very first word. يَا بَنِيَّ. How do you read? How do you join it to the next word? يَا بَنِي. يَذْهَبُ. يَا بَنِي يَذْهَبُ. That Hamzatul Wasl is ignored because we
join
the words. Okay? Otherwise, if you say يَا بَنِي, you make a pause, then you say اِذْهَبُ. اِذْهَبُ. You put a kasra, right?
Yeah.
So that's it. This I is so easy. The last two points, easy. مِن رَوْحِ اللَّهِ. How do you say?
مِن
رَوْحِ اللَّهِ. You
merge
them. This is called قَاعِدَةُ
الْإِدْغَام.
إِدْغَام. The last point, the sign, that sign, stopping sign. صِلَة. What does it tell us?
It tells us that it's better to continue.
Better to continue, but you can make a pause. Yes, it indicates like that you can make a pause here, but better to continue. That's it. Thank you so much, Ali Nasir. Super easy, not difficult tajweed points, yeah? Ready to recite it together?
Yes.
Okay, I'll recite it. Make sure you listen to me and repeat. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
يا بني يذهبوا فتحسسوا من يوسف وأخيه ولا تيأسوا من روح الله.
يا بني يذهبوا فتحسسوا من يوسف وأخيه ولا تيأسوا من روح الله.
إنه لا ييأس من روح الله إلا القوم الكافرون.
إنه لا ييأس من روح الله إلا القوم الكافرون.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
أحسنتم. Thank you so much. Allah bless you, brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Thank you so much for being with us. Hope you have learned something. Stay with Arab English Radio. Every day we are here with you, explaining one of the verses of the Quran with tajweed points and the recitation. Guys, any questions?
Nothing? No.
That's it from us for today. See you in the next session. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
وعجل فرجه.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبي لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
Welcome to all our listeners. This is Iran Radio from Tehran, and I am Asma, your host for the next hour. Hope you will accompany us into these early hours of this morning. We start this hour's lineup with Q&A on Islamic beliefs. The program provides answers to listeners' questions about Islamic beliefs. The Ocean of Da will follow, which gives an explanation of supplications taken from various books such as Mafatih al-Junan and Kamil al-Ziyarat. Our varied radio productions feature will follow at 1:30 a.m. For Humanity follows next, a variety of subjects from the Holy Quran, which predominantly tend to be social issues, are presented in this program. And our final program this hour is Spring of Truth. The program provides English translations of a selection of statements and speeches by the founding father of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini. May God bless his soul.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Answering your doubts and questions. And questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah, who is Ar-Rahman? Allah, who is Al-Mannan? La ilaha illallah.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I am Atta, the host of this program. Shaykh Rouhani, as usual, is over here to answer our questions. Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. Welcome to our show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
All right, Shaykh Rouhani, another interesting topic and question related to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and the month of Muharram in which we are passing life. Alhamdulillah, we are blessed with our majalis and gatherings and processions another year for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And today's question, which is proposed by Brother Mahmoud, the producer of this program, is that do Shias wash away their sins?